Psalm 103. Just sharing from the perspective of the benefits of believing, and therefore focus on faith and persevere in prayer and see what comes out of it. Psalm of David. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his Kadosh name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all his, what?
Benefits.
The benefits of believing. He forgives all your iniquity. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with loving kindness and compassions. He satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. There are lots of benefits, aren't there? Lots of blessings in Jehovah, our great Redeemer. Jehovah executes justice, judgments for all who are oppressed. That's a benefit. He made his ways known to Moses, his deeds to the children of Israel. Jehovah is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, plentiful in mercy. That's a great Father, isn't it? An abundant blessing from our Heavenly Father. Compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, plentiful in mercy. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not treated us according to our sins or repaid us according to our iniquities. Thank you, Father. Where would we be if that was not the case? That is a blessing and a benefit. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his mercy for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Wonderful. Never to be remembered. Our wrongdoing. Once we've dealt with them, given them to him, asked for forgiveness, turned away from that behavior, they're gone. They're gone forever. As a father has compassion on his children, so Jehovah has compassion on those who fear him or revere him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. But when the wind blows over it, it is gone, and its place is no longer known. But the mercy of Jehovah is from everlasting to everlasting on those who revere him. His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant, who remember to observe his instructions. Jehovah has set up his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless Jehovah, you angels of his, mighty in strength, performing his word upon hearing the utterance of his word. Bless Jehovah, all you his hosts or armies, his servants who do his will. Bless Jehovah, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. How marvelous and how great are the benefits and the blessings of those who put their trust in Jehovah. And these things are covenant blessings. They are covenant benefits to those who are his, who are obedient to the requirements of his kingdom and the Torah, of our relationship with our Heavenly Father, because our relationship is based on Torah, is based on Yeshua, Jehovah, our great Savior and Redeemer, who walked it out for us and taught us the ways that are pleasing to our Heavenly Father, that we've signed the covenant in his blood, and we have become partakers of those covenant blessings and promises in the Word. In James chapter 1, verse 22 to 25, it says,
But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror.
You know, that word, it can be misleading to Christianity. Because the word means the law or Torah. And when you read through Psalm 119 and lots of other psalms, it defines the commandments as his word. And so that word can be so constricted that it means very little. It just means what Yeshua said, or what I think Yeshua said, or what I think Yeshua taught and the apostles. And there's some bits and pieces in the Old Testament that I like, so they're kind to me, so that must be his word too. But the word is the law, it's the Torah, it's the writings of Moses and the prophets. And all that it's taught from Genesis to Revelation, every word is his word. And it's a matter of understanding it, embracing it, and finding what it means to us. So be a doer of the word, the law and the prophets and the teachings of the apostles and of Yeshua. He taught that exact thing himself, Yeshua. Follow my word, the scriptures, the Torah and the prophets, he told his people.
For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the what? The perfect Torah, the law that gives freedom.
Who would have ever thought that the law, the Torah, gives freedom? We're taught the exact opposite when I grew up in church. The law brings you into bondage. No, the law brings us into freedom. The freedom to obey, to love, to follow, to enjoy every blessing and every benefit that's written into the law. Because it says the law is life. Choose life. Keep the commandments is choosing life. I'll bless you. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. I'll feed you. I'll clothe you. I'll keep your enemies away from you. They're the freedoms. They're the benefits. They're the blessings of keeping the law. Who would have ever thought? We weren't taught that when I was a kid. The exact opposite. No. The one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom and continues in it. Who's writing this? James, one of the apostles, is writing this. One of Yeshua's brothers is writing this. And he said, continue in the law, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. He shall be what? Blessed in what he does. Well, I want to be blessed. Isn't that? I mean, that's just too fantastic for words, isn't it? If I read the law, the books of Moses and the writings of the prophets, and I enter into the truth of it, Father will bless my life. And yours too. Everybody's who will honour the truth of what Yeshua's brother, half-brother, taught and said. Exodus chapter 15, 22 to 27. I'm sure someone could twist those words to say something else, because they do all the time. Then Moses led Israel onward from the Sea of Reeds. They went out into the wilderness of Shur. They've just come out of Egypt. But they traveled 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink from the waters because they were bitter. On account of this, it was called Marah. So the people complained to Moses, saying, what are we going to drink? So he cried out to Jehovah, and Jehovah showed him a tree. When he threw it into the waters, they were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. He said, if you diligently, he said to them, if you diligently, remember, no water to drink. They were 3 days into the desert and nothing to drink. And he said, if you diligently listen to the voice of Jehovah, your Elohim, do what is right in his eyes, not anybody else's, do what is right in his eyes, pay attention to his commandments, and keep all his decrees, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have put on the Egyptians, for I am Jehovah who heals you. Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. A spring of water for each tribe. That was abundant blessing, wasn't it? So here they are, straight out of Egypt. They've just excitedly joined in with Miriam and all the women singing this great song of their victory over the Egyptians. The Egyptians have drowned in the sea. The army has gone. And we are in the victory. Excited, excited, excited. They had seen the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, all his armies. They'd seen all his gods over the last 2 or 3 years decimated by the power of the Almighty. And their nation had become nothing. All the firstborn were dead. The king, Pharaoh, was angry. Get them out of this place. And people were just saying, Pharaoh, we do not want these people in our land. Look is what is happening to us. Sends them out. And so here we find they have come out of Egypt. They're 3 days into their journey. And Jehovah, he wants to bring new understanding and change into their lives. What did he bring out of Egypt? A whole nation of idolaters. They worshipped, believed in Jehovah. They worshipped the gods of Egypt. They were just hedging their bets. And they even carried idols with them. They still believed in Moloch and other idols from out of Egypt. And Jehovah had one by one decimated every god that they believed in. And now he has brought them out and he is needing to teach them a new understanding about who their God is and how he got them out of that land and what he has done to the enemies of this people and how he has set them free from bondage and slavery to the Egyptians. And so what is he trying to instill within them? What is he trying to release into their understanding and their minds? He is wanting to show how to trust and to believe in him and in Moses, whom he had chosen for them to be his voice. And so, along with Aaron and Miriam, and so, nothing to eat or drink for 3 days. Well, who knows? They probably carried a bit of water with them, enough to get them through that day, the first day. Can't carry enough water for a whole nation, a million or so people, to last too long, can you? No, we know our way around the desert. Moses had lived in that desert for 40 years, minding the sheep of his father-in-law. He knew where all the wells and the springs were. No, we're well looked after. 3 days in, they're out of water, and they are a very unhappy people. And so, did they at this point worship him? No, they didn't. Did they pray and reach out to him? No, they didn't. Jehovah wanted them to understand that what he had delivered them from and what he would do and what he would be for them in their journey through this wilderness until they got to the promised land. He wanted to show them right from the very outset that if they're going to survive this journey through the wilderness, they're going to have to depend on him in a way they've never, ever had to depend on him before. But there was fear. There was bitter rebellion. And they were giving Moses a vote of no confidence. That word in the writing of that story, when it says they complained, it's a word that says that they were bitterly rebellious and angry. It's a very, very strong word. They were out for his blood. They were political. They said, "We do not trust you, Moses. We have no confidence in you. What are you going to do?" And so they were very angry 3 days in to their journey. And the test had done its job. Now it was time for Jehovah to reveal and to teach them something about himself. The wilderness is full of bitter waters. It's full of scorpions. It's full of snakes. It's full of dangers that they know very little about. And he was showing them that only he can remove the poison from the bitter waters of the wilderness journey and bring them to Elim. 12 springs of water, 70 palm trees. It was Shangri-La. It was the most fantastic place into their journey. Jehovah was saying, "Trust me, this is what you'll have. Rebel, carry on like little children. This is what will happen to you in the wilderness." So he says to them, "Diligently listen to my voice," which means obey my commandments. We read that. "And you will be safe from the diseases and the afflictions of Egypt." They saw the decimation of Egypt. He says, "Nothing like that will come upon you. Your children, your lives will be blessed and protected, taken care of. But if you don't, all the afflictions of Egypt will come upon you." So, what did he say to put their trust in? "For my name to you will be..." Just put that up again for us. "For I am Jehovah who heals you." That's the translation. It says, "I am Jehovah Rapha." Jehovah Rapha. That's my name. So he says, "I will put none of the diseases on you." That means he will put the diseases on them if they don't listen to him. So he says, "Because I am Jehovah Rapha, the healer." It is not the usual word for healing. It is sozo, which means life, which means salvation, which means deliverance, which means well-being. It means every aspect of life is found in who is. "I will heal you of your sinfulness. I will protect you from the diseases and the ills and the ailments and the wickedness of that which is Egypt and what it stands for." And so he is saying, "I am your healer. I'll keep you well. I'll keep you healthy. I'll keep you strong. I will provide for you. I'll bless you. I'll save you. I will deliver you from every danger, every enemy. I will be there to protect every aspect of your life, body, soul, spirit, mind, well-being. In every need you have, I will be what you need me to be." Jehovah Rapha,
is my name to you.
At this point. So, walk in faith, believing and trusting, and I will do miracles again and again for you.
And as we read through their history and their story, he did. Miracles. Bread from heaven. Water from the rock. Nations that come against them, destroyed. Snakes that bit them, healed them from the poison and the bite as they looked at the bronze snake on this. So amazing and weird and strange divine things took place as Jehovah revealed himself to them and did wonderful and amazing things for them in their life. So I'm saying our healing, our well-being and our salvation is built into his name. This is the children's bread, Yeshua says. I have come to bring healing, he said to this woman. My son, demon-possessed, needs your help. Sorry, it's for the children. You're not part of my family. But even the dogs get the crumbs. You've got something for me and my child. I know it. And he healed. So, let me say, whatever is in his name belongs to me as his child. And if his name is Jehovah Rapha, that belongs to me. Because that tells me who he is. That tells me something of his nature, his character. It tells me something of how he wants to express himself in my life. I am your healer. I am your savior. I am your deliverer. It's built into my name. When I say Jehovah Rapha, you are my healer. You are my deliverer. You are my strong tower. You are there for me in my need. Jehovah Rapha, my need is built into your name. The wonder, the power, the authority, the majesty, the strength, and the purpose of his name. It's built in. And so this is part of my inheritance. And it's part of his covenant promise to his family, Israel, and to Yeshua's community. He said, my name is in him. Everything the Father is, I am. His name is my name. His name is in me. Every name that Jehovah reveals himself to be is built in to the covenant promises that belong to those who put their trust in his name. Isn't that fantastically wonderful? If I can take a hold of that name, if I can put my trust in that name, if I can eliminate every other God in my life and every other confidence in him and say, my confidence and trust is in you, then the blessings and the fullness of his name becomes part of his covenant promise to me. And he is therefore my savior, my healer, my deliverer, and what I believe in will benefit me. So I want to believe in this name that he reveals at this point, because he reveals himself through lots of names. And his banner over me is love. It's another name. And so I must believe in this name. I must allow the truth of that name. I must allow that covenant name to so indwell me, to so become part of my faith, my believing, my trusting, that his name will radiate the truth of that blessing and that benefit into my life. So that's why I said, and I titled this little word, The Benefits of Believing. So focus on faith. And persevere in prayer, because that's going to bring the benefit of his name into our lives.
So focus on faith as an important part of my walk in Jehovah. Matthew chapter 9, verses 17 to 31.
Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the skins burst, the wine spills out, the skins are ruined, but they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. Just as he was saying these things to them, a synagogue leader came and began to bow before him, saying, "My daughter has just died, but come, lay your hand on her and she will live." Yeshua got up and began to follow him with his disciples. And then a woman, losing blood for 12 years, came from behind and touched the tzitzit of his garment. For she kept saying to herself, "If only I touch his garment, I will be healed." She kept saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will be healed." She'd had this condition for 12 years. "If only I can touch his garment, I will be healed." The Ruach had put something in here. She had got a hold of this. He had gone around and he was healing people with his touch, with his word. Somehow she couldn't get to him. I don't know. She was an unclean person in their culture. She never had the audacity to, "If I can just touch, if I can just touch his garment, I know. Doesn't have to say anything to me. He doesn't have to pronounce anything over me. Doesn't have to put his hand on me. If I can just touch his garment, I will be healed." But when Yeshua turned and saw her, "Take heart, daughter," he said, "your faith has made you well." That very hour, the woman was healed. And when Yeshua came into the synagogue leader's house and saw the flute players and the noisy crowd wailing, he said, "Go away, for the girl isn't dead but sleeping." And that's an interesting comment when we understand the use of the word sleeping for death. Because Yeshua says, "I am not the God of the dead, I'm the God of the living." And he was talking about Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. He said, "They're not dead." Of course they were dead. But he's saying they're not dead. They're just asleep. They're waiting for me to wake them up. Those who believe in me, those who walk according to my ways, my commandments, and put their trust in me the way they are meant to, they are mine. I see them as my bride. I see them as my kingdom children. I see them as those who will serve my purposes in the kingdom to come. Far as he's concerned, they're living. They're living. They're just waiting for him to tap them on the shoulder at the sound of the trumpet and waken them out of their sleep into the next phase of their life. It's a great picture, isn't it? Between what is death and waiting for the second resurrection and life in the first resurrection. But it's how it's pictured right throughout the scriptures. And so he said, "Go away, for the girl isn't dead but sleeping." And they began jeering at him. But when the crowd had been cleared out, he went in and took her hand, and the girl got up. And news of this spread all around that region. It never ceases to amaze me, these stories, because the whole crowd, they're all jeering at him. "The girl's as dead as dead." He says, "She's not dead, she's just asleep." And they're giving him a hard time. They're just saying, "You're a madman, she's dead. The doctors have prescribed her dead. They've written the death certificate." And he somehow or other gets this crowd out of the house, and all the mourners that have come and those that are mocking him and making fun of him, and this preacher that we don't accept as the Son of God is making these way out statements. He manages to get them all out. And I suppose he's got the 12 apostles there and others just getting rid of these people and shutting them down while he goes into the house. And he said, but when the crowd had cleared out, he went and took her hand, and the girl got up.
And news of this spread all around that region. And Yeshua went on from there. Two blind men followed him, crying out, "Son of David, have mercy on us."
Ben David. Son of David means what? No. It means you are the Messiah. The Messiah had to be the son of David. And if they called him the son of David, they were saying, "You are the Messiah. We believe in you as the Messiah who has come." And so they're crying out, "Son of David, son of David, have mercy on us." When he went into the house, the blind men came to him, and Yeshua said to them, "Do you believe that I'm able to do this?" "Yes, Master," they said to him. Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, let it be done for you." Their eyes were opened. Yeshua warned them sternly, "See that no one knows," but they went out and spread the news about him all around that region. They knew, if you are our Messiah, you can heal us. No doubts whatsoever. No doubts whatsoever. You're our Messiah. You are the Son of David. You have demonstrated your power throughout our streets. We believe in you. Matthew 21, verses 9 to 17. The crowds going before him and those following kept shouting, saying, "Hoshea na to Ben David, Baruch haba Shem Yehovah. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yehovah. Hosanna in the highest." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" The crowds kept saying, "This is the prophet Yeshua from Nazareth in the Galilee." Yeshua entered the temple and drove out all those selling and buying in the temple. He overturned the tables of the money changers, the seats of those selling doves, and he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you are making it a den of thieves." You know, we could spend a half an hour just telling this story, this entry into Jerusalem at the feast of Passover. And he has come to cleanse the temple. And people are going before him and they're shouting. They're shouting, "Son of David, our Messiah, Hosanna, blessed, blessed is he who comes in the name of Yehovah." Wow, you tells us just how stirred up the religious leaders and the priests, etc., were. The blind and the lame, they came to him in the temple. He healed them. And when the ruling priests and Torah scholars saw the wonders he performed and the children crying out in the temple saying, "Hoshea na to the Son of David, our Messiah," they became indignant and they said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" "Yes," Yeshua said to them, "haven't you ever read out of the mouths of babes and nursling toddlers, 'You have prepared praise for yourself'?" Then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, and he spent the night there. Prayer is the fountain of blessing. And he said, "My house will be called a house of prayer." You've just turned it into a melting pot of thievery. You've turned my celebrations and feasts into a money-making thing in my Father's name. You are a den of thieves. You've robbed these people of their faith, their life. You've robbed these people of their eternal security and of their money and their wealth. And this house is a house of prayer. It is where the voice of the people ascend to the Almighty. It's the place where people come to give praises and honor and faith and belief and trust in the Almighty. This is the place where they meet to meet with him, not to follow the traditions of your system of worship, which has robbed them of everything. Verse 21 and 22, same chapter. Yeshua answered them, "Amen, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only will you do what is done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,'
it will happen. And whatever you ask in prayer, trusting, you shall receive. Believe what you pray according to his word and to his will, and we will receive. There's something here that he's saying, I want you to take a hold of this. We read in the previous passages, your faith has made you whole, woman. I know people have bandied that around and says, you're sick because you haven't got enough faith. And that just becomes condemning. Just becomes, I haven't got an answer of why you're not healed, so I prayed for you and you didn't get better. It's your fault. You haven't got enough faith. I mean, I'm called of God. You know, I've got all the answers and solutions. If you listen to what I say, you don't have enough faith. It's such a sad thing. But the truth is, he wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe. He wants us to trust in the power of his name to be our healer, our deliverer. He's wanting us to enter into something that is sovereign, supernatural, empowered of the Ruach HaKodesh, so that something comes alive in here and the power of his name fills us with the words of the woman, if only I can touch his garment, I will be healed. He wants us to have that faith that comes from the voice, the hearing, the knowing, and allowing something of the truth of that to impact us in a way maybe that it's never impacted us before. So, our faith and who we believe in and trust is strengthened and directed as we persevere in prayer. It's not a matter of saying, have a prayer and that's the end of it. Either it worked or it didn't work. No, that's not the way. We have to push in to our need. And we have to bring to the Father our need. And keep our need before him until faith arises and we take a hold of something and I begin to improve. I'm not talking about gifts. I'm talking about something that's taking place in our inner being. We know that there are people that the Father raises up and gives them a gift of healing or faith or miracles or something that is just out of the ordinary. But there's something more than that. It's the walk. It's the walk we have in faith and relationship. Father, take me into the wilderness 3 days journey and I'm about to die. I will not groan. I will not grumble. I will not complain. I will not get angry with you. I will say, Father, you know where the next well is. Father, you can remove the poison from this affliction in life and bring me health. Bring me health. That's where we want to get to. That's where we want to have our heartbeat. That's what we want to say. Father, this is my need. And like that woman, I am not going to give up on this. I'm going to hang on to who you are. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you. I want this need met, and I know that you can. Do you believe that I can remove your blindness? Yes, we do. Blindness was removed. And I know there's millennial kingdom truths in here as well of who Yeshua is and the apostles. But there's also present truth as well, that I can have much more than I lay claim to. I can be blessed much more than I've taken a hold of. I can have needs met to a degree far greater than I have now. That's what he wants us to think. Right around this room, from me, every person, we can say, I have needs, and I will lay hold of my Father. And I will say, this is my need, Jehovah. I will trust you. I will believe in you. I will have faith in you. I will see the power of your name
working in my life so that I believe from this hour I will improve. I will improve. I will improve. Father, do something. I can't do that. Only He can do that. You can't do that. Only He can do that. It's as we push into Him, something changes. It's sovereign. It's supernatural. It's divine. It's out of the realm of man. It's out of the realm of doctors. They do what they can because it's a temporary fix. But He can do something that's just beyond, and I have to believe that that's my God. I have to believe that His name is Jehovah Rapha. I am Elohim who heals you. I am Elohim who gives you a better life. I am Elohim who has benefits and blessings for you that are spiritual, emotional, psychological, physical, financial. I will meet your need. I am Jehovah. Whatever area of need it is you need, you'll find it in Him. And I say, Father, help me to walk like that. Help me to embrace and take a hold of that. Help me to say, Father, this is my need emotionally, physically, financially. I trust you. I trust you. I will walk in it. Even if I can't see it, I will walk in. If only I can touch Him. If only I can get to that place where I've touched the hem of His garment. I know the benefits will begin to flow from. I know the benefits will begin to come my way, and I want the benefits and the blessings of believing and trusting in Him. Luke 18, 1 to 7. Just finish off with these couple of scriptures here. Yeshua told them a parable to show that they should always pray and not be discouraged. That's what we want to get a hold of. We should always pray and not be discouraged, because it's easy to get discouraged when we try to make changes and we don't see it happening, or we don't have the ability to make it happen, or I'm struggling to see it come to pass in my life. Don't be discouraged. Keep praying. He's happy with it. He's okay with that. That's not a lack of faith. He's saying, I know that you are dust. We read that in the Psalm. I know that you are dust. But I am not. I am eternal. I am powerful. I am Jehovah Rapha. I'm here to do something wonderful in your life. He said there was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor respected people. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to Him saying, give me justice against my opponent, the old enemy of our soul. He was unwilling at the time, but afterward he said to himself, although I don't fear God or respect people, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll give her justice, so she won't wear me out by her incessant coming. Then Jehovah said, Yeshua, Adonai said, hear what the unjust judge is saying. Won't God do justice for His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? Will He be slow to help them? Am I a chosen one? Am I a chosen one? Please say yes. I am a chosen one. Therefore, if I cry out to Him day and night, He doesn't mind. He doesn't mind. We're not badgering Him. He says, annoy me. Badger me. Keep your need before me. Just like that woman did to that unjust judge. I'm not unjust. Keep pushing in. One day, faith will come alive. One day, you'll hear my voice. One day, the Ruach will release something. Who knows when or how? Don't be discouraged. Persevere in prayer. I'll be there to help you. Matthew 7, 7 to 11. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. The one who knocks, it shall be open. For what man among you, when his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? When he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, fleshly men and women, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Ask, seek, knock. Keep pushing in. Keep asking the Father.
Keep seeking for the answers. Read the scriptures. Learn everything you can about what he is saying to us and wanting for us. Keep knocking on that door. He says, I will give you what you are seeking for. He is looking for a people that don't go 3 days into the desert then say, I give up. I'm angry. I'm discouraged. I'm not asking anymore. No, be like the woman for 12 years had an issue of blood and says, if only I can touch his garment. One day I will get close enough to him. I'll hear his voice. I'll feel his hand. I'll know his presence. I'll touch his garment. Something will change. And we know that if we do things his way, one day we'll just get up and say, I'm not a sore. I've been feeling better for about a week now and I didn't know. Just something's changing. I'm doing better than I ever thought I could or would or am. Faith is rising. He wants us to learn. Things don't come automatically and everything is not just dumped into our understanding and life. We will learn as we go and we grow. Our faith will get stronger. Our trust, our believing in him will get stronger until we cry out, Ben, am I? Ben, David, son of Elohim, Messiah, my King. You are who you say you are. I take a hold of Jehovah Rapha in Yeshua, my Redeemer, and experience something new. Acts 4, 23, 32.
As soon as they were released, Peter and John went to their own people and reported all that the ruling priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard it, they lifted their voices together to Elohim and said, O sovereign master, you made heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. You said by the Ruach HaKodesh, through the mouth of our father David, your servant, why did the nations rage and the peoples plot foolish things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against Jehovah and against his anointed one. For truly both Herod, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, were gathered together in this city against your Kadosh servant Yeshua, whom you anointed. He's taking that Old Testament psalm and he's applying it to their day that they were walking the streets in, because they had just come out from being threatened by the Sanhedrin to not preach in this name, not teach in this name, not do anything in his name. They did whatever your hand and your purpose predetermined to happen. And now, Jehovah, look at their threats and grant your servants to speak your word with utmost courage, while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your Kadosh servant, Yehoshua. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken. They were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak the word of Elohim with boldness. And now the whole group of those who believed was one in heart and mind. No one would say anything he owned was his own, but they had everything in common. So they were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, began to speak the word of Elohim Bos. They were filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak the word boldly. The place where they were gathered was shaken. They were filled. You know, sometimes he has to get a hold of us and shake us. And till the Ruach HaKodesh comes and says, I'm in charge of your life. Don't listen to what they say out there in the world. Don't listen to what the religious people say. Don't listen to what the enemy of your soul says. Listen to what I have to say. Listen to what my word has to say. Listen to what the Torah promises you. All the covenant blessings built into the Torah. My name is Jehovah Rapha. My Yeshua meaning my name is in him. Jehovah is salvation. Jehovah saves. You'll find it in walking with me. I am Jehovah Rapha in your midst.
Shake the building, Jehovah. Shake our lives until the Ruach comes in a powerful new way and can bring change into my life. The things I couldn't be, I can be. The things I need, you will do. Where I am standing in life, you will improve it and make me stronger, better, more powerful until I speak the word. Give us courage and emboldenment, was their prayer. And they went everywhere preaching the word. Jehovah doing amazing things with signs following. Close with Psalm 20. For the music director, a psalm of David. May Jehovah answer you in the day of trouble. Learn this psalm, read this psalm, take this psalm, apply it to your life. May Jehovah answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the Elohim of Jacob set you up securely on high. What does that mean? Just let the truth of it speak into your heart. May the name of Elohim of Jacob set me up securely. My walk is in his name, the power of his name, the truth of his name. Father, your name will make me a child of the kingdom and of the king. May he send you help from the sanctuary and support you from... I want his help from the sanctuary. I want heaven to come to my aid. I want the power of his name and who he is to come and do things for me that I've needed for a long time. Father, may my faith rise up and say, I believe, I trust, I know, and I will not become discouraged. May he remember all your meal offerings and accept the fat of your burnt offerings. Father, I have loved you, prayed and walked with you for a long time, sending up my praises and prayers of thanksgiving. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. Aren't they? I mean, what more can we ask? What an amazing prayer. What a wonderful thing to say to the Father and take a hold of and believe him. We will shout for joy in your victory and lift up our banners in the name of our Elohim. May Jehovah fulfill all your petitions. He can't fulfill them if you haven't got any. That's pretty obvious. If I don't have any petitions, then he's got nothing to fulfill. He says, ask, seek, knock. If you don't ask, seek, and knock, then I've got nothing to answer. Keep on. Don't give up. Persevere in prayer. Don't become discouraged. Let faith keep functioning till faith arises and says, I take a hold of that. I'll take a hold of that. Now I know that Jehovah saves his anointed. He answers him from his Kadosh heaven with saving strength of his right hand, Yeshua. Some have chariots, some have horses. That's the world's way. Some have chariots. They think they're going to get the victory by what the world can do for them. He said, no, we have the name of Jehovah, our Elohim. They have collapsed and fallen, the world around us, but we rise up and support each other. Isn't that amazing? It's fantastic. We rise up and support one another in the name. Encourage, bless, say, don't give up. Keep pushing in, seek, knock, pray. You'll be feeling better tomorrow. Let the Ruach shake us up and fill us with something divine from heaven's sanctuary itself. Come and fill our hearts and lives. He wants us to be a people like the Acts chapter 4, walking around in that authority that says, I am bold, I am courageous, we will speak the truth in your name. No matter what the kings of this, of the nations of this world do, no matter how much they threaten and want to ruin and rob us, like they did to Yeshua, Herods and Pilates of this world, we will not listen or bow down to them. We have Jehovah Rapha as my God. Father responds to that. Wow, you believe in me. You trust in me. I will answer your prayer. Whatever that means in our circumstance and situation, he will do good things. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will give you a better day, a better tomorrow. He will fill your heart with joy. He will bless you. The benefits of his blessings are ours. Don't come with preconceived ideas of when and how, but come with the faith that says, I put my trust in you. I put my trust in you. I want healing. I want change in who I am, my character, my life, my needs, my business, my work. I will keep knocking and seeking. I will present my petitions to you. You have not because you ask not. He's happy for us to keep on asking. And it's not a lack of faith because we keep on asking. It's the strengthening of our faith because we keep on asking until the truth of it impacts us like a powerful sledgehammer and it comes alive. The ruach has shook the building and something good has come out of it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you once again for Shabbat. We thank you for bringing us together to be a source of inspiration and encouragement to one another, to push into the greatness of who you are. Father, watch over us, keep us, protect us from the evil one, meet our needs and our petitions as we bring them before you, highlight them and name them, and say, Father, do this great thing for me in my life. And we know that you are listening to our prayer and responding to it. We give you thanks in Yeshua's name. Amen. Yeah.